Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Economics and how this does have an impact as well on the societal and social aspects that we need to be mindful of. Our good friend Wandile Sehlobo, who's the chief economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa, AgBiz, joins us now to help contextualize how the coalition talks, the outcomes of the elections, and our heightened expectations ahead of the first sitting of Parliament will play a role and an influence in the policies that will be implemented and could likely have a significant consequence on land and farm policy. Wandile, always a pleasure to speak to you, sir.
Good to speak with you. I hope that you are well.
Indeed, keeping well, and I hope you are too, warm and keeping the winter chills and flu away. It's been a tough one the last few weeks.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Well, keeping away the winter chills reminds me of the agricultural space, actually, Wandile, when I think of the lemon, the ginger, the garlic that many South Africans typically use to nurse themselves back to health. But we tend to forget that that's the groceries we might have in our pantries and cupboards at home. But there's a full value chain and land and farming that needs to take place for us to have access to this kind of food security. And politics, but more so the policies implemented by political parties, is what plays an influence on the sustainability of the sector. Help us draw and connect the dots here.
Absolutely, Gooks, because at the end of the day, agriculture is a long-term investment endeavor. And that means then the policies that are applied by the governments, either it's on trade policy, it's on land reform, it's on production support, all of those, they get to impact the sector much more closely. But I think in a community like South Africa, we've also seen over the past few years that much of the political oriented discussions, particularly around the issue of land and around the issues of poverty, they tend to over and again come back to be closer to the agricultural sector, which is why I think in times like today, where we have seen this sector growing exponentially over time, having been doubled between now compared to where we were in 1994. And we have over 1.3 million South Africans in primary agriculture and agro-processing working there and supporting their families. We do need then to ensure that when we think about the policies that will be applied in this sector post-elections, they are really sympathetic to some of the growth agenda of the sector, the potential of the sector, and ensure that they are not disruptive, even though they may be pushing for more inclusion in terms of the racial spectrum in the South African society.
And let's talk about that. I love how you've placed it, more inclusion in terms of the racial spectrum in South Africa, because that's really what we're calling for, in as much as it has typically been commented on as land expropriation without compensation, which at times has often left those who have a lot more dominance and legacy within the agricultural space, typically white Afrikaans farmers, feeling as though they're being left out of participating in these sectors. And maybe let's unpack the concerns around the policy and conflicts that might occur within the coalition talks here.
I think the first thing, Gooks, to appreciate is that when people talk about transformation in agriculture, they are not imagining things. There is still a long path to walk. Because as I speak with you today, black farmers in South Africa, on aggregate, on average, they make up about 10% of the commercial output. Then we have to say, has this number progressed much? But when you look into history, this number has not changed from the 80s, from the 70s. It still really dwindles along the same lines, although various value chains have progressed over time relative to others. But then with the statistics like that, I think it feeds into the policies of today of having to understand that why has that progress been so slow? And there's a number of things around that. One, it's on a land reform, not necessarily that the land reform policy has been slow, because the number in our calculation is at about 25% instead of the 10% that many people usually talk about and say 9%, 10% of the land, but it's at 25%. But it's not 25% owned by black South Africans. You have a great deal of that land actually owned by the South African government, not having been transferred with title deeds to black South Africans for commercial production. And of course, the post-transfer support and the training facilities that are needed. Those are all things that have contributed to the slow pace of the black farmer participation in the sector, amongst other aspects that are there. Mm-hmm. But of course, this is not the end all and be all, but it formulates an important basis when we begin to think about this, which is why then the land reform policy orientation on itself, when we read what various political parties get to be at the center of agricultural production, because what we picked up, particularly in periods that we're approaching the election, the Department of Agriculture began looking at its land stock. And at the time, it had just under 3 million hectares of land that were in its books. And Minister Didiza, in a space of about 2 weeks, she managed to transfer roughly 500,000 hectares of land to Black South Africans with title deeds, which means then that this thing can be done. They are beginning to think around this, and the Director General, Ndate Mokgweetsi Ramasodi, is pushing heavily on saying, let's continue even now to transfer land to appropriately selected beneficiaries with title deeds, follow it up with blended finance support, link them to producer organizations so that they begin to be part of the bigger agenda when we're thinking about the agricultural production and the growth of the sector. Now then, if that's the policy that the ANC will be leading with, and that's what the governing party has been doing under its government, especially at the tail end of the sixth administration, you would like to see that continue. But when you look at the top four political parties that are trailing the ANC and you focus on their agricultural policies, to my mind, I see the Democratic Alliance more aligned with what the ANC has been doing, because that's what they've been practicing in the Western Cape to an extent. I also read the IFP document and find it quite sound when you're thinking about rural development and agricultural development, although there are a few ambiguities on its land reform part of the policy, but broadly it is aligned with what the ANC has been doing. The stark contrast is, of course, on what all South Africans know. If you begin then to read what the MK has been saying and what the EFF is saying, it can undo some of the gains that were beginning to happen in as far as the strengthening the tenure of citizens in South Africa on the land side. Not to say what the current government has been doing is sufficient. It certainly can be accelerated. And there's a menu of options that are on the table that needs to be done to ensure that we drive that inclusion. So in essence, then, Cooks, when we're thinking about agricultural development and we are thinking about the future, we do think that what IFP has been saying, what the DA is saying, what the likes of Rise and Zanzibar have been saying, what the ANC has been saying is more aligned. But you have another side of this. And as they think and they go to coalition, really the outcome of that and the outcomes of Fridays and the weeks to come is what will guide our thinking about what's really happening here, because this is an important sector of our economy that requires a lot for investment.
Oh, it's certainly very critical. What I love is that you've given us a clearer understanding of how the different political parties do take an approach to land rights and property rights, and how there are options that can be explored to make sure that there's a sense of certainty. You can imagine on a business show like this, we talk about certainty and the markets all the time. And I guess, Wandile, that's also what we need to just evaluate. You know, everyone wants to avoid some of the mistakes that our peers like Zimbabwe might have committed when it comes to the expropriation of land. Given the solutions that you've highlighted for us and examples that you've shared, can we find this being rolled out in a more seamless manner in South Africa with less risk?
When I think of South Africa, and I mean, I hear these things where people talk about the Zimbabwe scenario and all of that, and they have a right to be concerned about that. But I can assure you that with the current leadership, and he myself having worked in advising the president, the minister, and the others in that, that's not the route that is South Africa we are taking. Mm-hmm. I think the leadership of South Africa, I'm fully confident that they appreciate the importance of the investment. They appreciate the sensitivity of these things in the sector, and they have watched and seen what had happened in Zimbabwe. And I am certain that that's not what they wish to see happening in this country. But of course, nothing is ever really cast on stone, which is why I'm saying, as we look into these elections and these coalitions, that's something that we can keep an eye on. But I wouldn't want to be alarmist and say there is an expropriation path in South Africa that may happen to leading us to Zimbabwe. I don't think that that's the path that is the republic we are actually taking on that. But the one thing, though, that we continue to insist on, which we would like to see happening in South Africa, is, of course, this idea of saying there are plans that are already on the table to accelerate the growth of this sector, such as what we call the agriculture and the agro-processing master plan at this point. And we think that the new administration, when they come into office, and this is something that I must emphasize, the Director General of the Department of Agriculture agrees with me on this, even the current minister, that we don't need to actually see a change in policy, but rather we should be focusing on a rigorous implementation of the Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan. And in addition to the Agriculture and Agro-Processing Master Plan, a better alignment of the blended finance instrument into this, and then we can manage to see some progress. And that wish for this progress is not just the South Africa issue. It's not just the South African government issue, but it's also the wish of the private sector.
Definitely. And I think this is so important that you illustrate that you know, we're not being alarmist. There isn't a lot of panic. In fact, the conversations that are taking place between these political parties are highly considered in terms of the impact that's taking place here. Coupled with that, Wandile, I can imagine that much of the conversation around the transference of land and, of course, property rights does also need to be placed in the hands of individuals who are capable, who have the know-how, and who might even have the capital to actually use this land economically. Where are we in making sure that essentially we develop more black farmers, more black property owners as well?
I think that's the area that we are currently now focusing on, because if you may recall, in 2018, President Ramaphosa put together what is called at the time the Land Reform Expert Panel. There was about 10 of us, Bulelwa Mabasa, Tembeka Ngukaitobi, Tandi Ngobo, and many other of our colleagues, the late great Mohamed Karan and Dr. Vuyo Mahlathi, God bless us all. They were among some of us who were sitting in that grouping. And the idea at the time, we were dealing with the aspect of expropriation, which it focused many people's attention to say this is a panel that is thinking about expropriation. But beyond the expropriation, we also spent a lot of time at the time to say, what criteria is the South African government using to actually select who benefit on land redistribution? Because land reform in South Africa is about three pillars. It's redistribution, it's restitution, which looks at if you can prove that your folks who, and your family was removed in certain areas, then you can go through the claim process and be able to get that land. And there's tenure, which speaks to strengthening land rights, which is what we should be doing in the former homelands and the other areas. And yes, we haven't made enough inroads on that. But what I'm coming to on redistribution, there was no clear criteria on how to select people, which is why people like Professor Ruth Hall, Dr. Tembeka Kepe, then at Rhodes University, they came up with these studies where they were saying over 70% or so of the land, it was really rich, politically connected black men that were receiving this land. Women were closer to actually benefiting on this. And also some of the people that were getting this land had no business being in agriculture. They were sitting somewhere in Sandton and these big cities and not really involved in working the land. Then what we came up with at the time was the land reform beneficiary selection criteria, which Cabinet endorsed, and the Department of Agriculture went further to put the policy on. And from now, around about 2020, that's that criteria that is being used. And I'm giving this elaborate explanation to say there is now a better metric that is used to select who can benefit on this, which looks into the skills issue, which looks into some level of training and the willingness to farm, which looks at the history of a person, which does also looks at a gender, at an age, things that we're actually missing to an extent that this policy was revolutionary in a sense that it made it clear that 50% of all the land redistribution component has to be black women. And it is there in this African. So these are, but also those black women, they're not just getting the land because they are black women, but they have to be oriented on what are they going to use it for. And then we have to pay it with a blended finance that the land bank is running with the Department of Agriculture, which is something that is in process. And of course, I would encourage them to say those people must also be aligned with commodity associations, because this is where the training part and linking to markets and linking to value chains begin to happen. And I think over time, we will be able then to move ahead from the current figure where today, as I said, black farmers are only on average about 10% of the commercial output, with certain value chains like cattle industry at 34%, mohair at 13%, wool at 11%, but also others like potatoes at 2%, and all of those wool wheat industry somewhere around about less than 5%. So we will be able to progress over time with a menu of those options. But I do think collaboration between private sector, public sector is going to be very useful in ensuring that we make that progress. And organizations like PELS in Cirrus in the Western Cape, the Cernic Group in the Free State, in the cattle industry, are among some of those organizations that are beginning to play a fundamental role in seeing us progress and growing the South African agricultural pie.
So beautifully put there, Wandile. Really appreciate it because it helps us contextualize the partnerships that need to take place at a heightened level and right across the value chain, from equipping the finances, equipping the individuals who do need to be included, black women who are often on the periphery of economic participation and the most unemployed individuals in the country, and making sure that even the transference and the sustainability behind this long-term investment in the reallocation of property and land, especially in the agricultural space, is one that is sustainable and still has positive contributions to the economy. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir. I really appreciate it. We could learn all day with you. Really appreciate it, Wandile.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. That's Wandile Sehlobo there, Chief Economist of the Agricultural Business Chamber of South Africa. He's also a wonderful author as well. He has two books which really give you a lot more and a better understanding of some of the data and the information he's shared with us here tonight. If you go looking for it and essentially learn more about the agricultural space.
If you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.